morning, everyone. We've been calling our series on changing urban centers in the United States, waiting for the train, because a lot of cities are waiting for new infrastructure like light rail. And we just spoke with Andres Duwani about the changing demographics involved in gentrification of inner cities around the country, including Denver, Colorado, where new urbanists are gathered all week. Our own new urbanist, Matt Dellinger, transportation writer, has been in Denver taking a look at the inner city of that community, and we want to talk to him about some of the gentrification issues that Andres Duwani raised a moment ago. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, John.
How's your safari going?
Well, it's going great. It's very stimulating.
All right. Well, let's talk very specifically about the racial changes and the racial challenges as we confront gentrification in a city like Denver. Listen to this voice and then tell me exactly what he's talking about and how you saw examples of what he's referring to here.
I don't think that there's prejudice, racial prejudice, as much as the problem of affordability. That is, the minority groups aren't able to, can't afford living in lower downtown, with exception, which is, I suppose, another type of segregation.
Another type of segregation. He's talking about changes taking place in downtown Denver. Who is he and what have you observed?
That is Dr. Manny Salzman, and he is a 90-year-old doctor who's lived in Lodo, the lower downtown neighborhood, for 30 years. He's informally called the mayor of Lodo. And I was asking him about the racial mix of downtown, lower downtown, because Duwani said, you know, a lot of the people who are moving into these newly gentrified neighborhoods are empty nesters and young people. And that is very much the case in Lodo. And, you know, you don't get much of a mix of races in that particular neighborhood.
And I guess I guess this is the challenge of gentrification in that the market seems to, restrict diversity in places like this, as Mr. Saltzman is saying, because of so-called affordability. Other people have some other opinions, and I wonder if you could react to this voice from Denver that you this person you talked to yesterday.
There's a Welton Street Corridor committee. They've been talking for some time, for some months. They've done, you know, case studies, la, la, la. This is what Five Points could look like. But the people in the room are the usual suspects. I'm like, why aren't there any poor people in this room? Why aren't there any brown people in this room? Why aren't there any students in this room? Why aren't there any single mothers in this room? That's who you need in this room. They will tell you what this strip needs.
Now, who is that? And is gentrification really an all-white proposition in Denver?
That was Ashara Ikundayu, and she is a community activist in the Five Points neighborhood, which is actually where I'm sitting right now. It's adjacent to downtown. It's very close to Lodo, actually, but it is a historically African-American community. It was called the Harlem of the West. And, you know, if I can explain the difference between Lodo and Five Points.
Please.
Lodo was basically a warehouse district. It was right by the train station, and the buildings that have been filled with lofts and restaurants and things were simply warehouses before. Things would come off the train and sit in the building until they were ready to go out. And the automobile, in the form of trucking, laid waste to that neighborhood. As trains fell, the neighborhood fell.
Uh-huh.
And Mayor Hickenlooper was one of the first people to build in that neighborhood. He built a brewery right downtown. In fact, Manny invested $10,000 in that brewery, an investment that's paid off very well. And so the difference is with Five Points, it's a community where there are people. There's a constituency there living, and many of the people are living in homes that were their grandparents or their parents. And it's a much trickier proposition, and that's where the word gentrification really comes into play, because displacing people.
Right, it becomes a pejorative. So the proposition here is that economically, for some of the reasons you describe, the rules are different in a neighborhood like Five Points than they are in a neighborhood like Lodo. I was very, very struck by what Ashara Escondayo had to say here.
What I want them to do is to make sure that these cultural events continue to happen. What I want them to do is to make sure that young people, people of color who live in the neighborhood, have a job. Make sure that they get the apprenticeship. Make sure that they get to do a mural project on the outside of the Rossonian. Make sure that they get, you know, the job on the light rail or whatever.
So how are new urbanists addressing these issues as these communities are being transformed, Matt?
Well, in the case of Lodo, you know, that you've got greenfield projects and you've got infill and overlay projects. In greenfield, you go into a space that no one is in and you build houses. And Lodo was almost like that because there weren't people there. And when you go into a community that exists already, very rarely are you building things on the scale of, you know, 400 acres, obviously. So there's a lot of people to bring to the table. And the planner doesn't get to say who stays and who goes. They have to work with existing property owners. They have to work with community groups. They have to work with fire, police, and local government. And what the new urbanists do is they hold these charrettes, and they try to bring everyone to the table. They have open meetings. They draw things. They show people. People react. They redraw them. It's a very interactive process. And what Ashara was getting at is that many times when people buy properties, they build without, you know, they have a vision for the neighborhood. They want to make it a destination for, as she told me yesterday, people who can afford a $12 glass of wine.
And that's a big proposition. I mean, that's an important sort of set of social changes that are in addition to simply architecture. I guess my question is this kind of story of gentrification over? Here's Joanne Saltzman, wife of Manny, who we spoke with a moment ago.
It was like the Hall of the Mountain Kings at that time because there was no electricity. We had one of those lights on a long cord. So that was very fun. We had our first people that rented suites from us, and we didn't even have the bathrooms finished. They had to go over to the Union Station to use the bathrooms over there.
So, Matt Dellinger, is that old story of squatting and then becoming sort of gentrified millionaires over in America, do you think?
It's slowly ending. I think Duane made a very good point earlier when he said that this is a bigger thing than any one project. I mean, people are moving back to urban places because they see value there. And the new urbanists can't really do anything. You know, they're not social workers. Their prerogative is to make really lasting value and make good communities and good urbanism.
All right, Matt. Well, thanks so much for that. It's great to have what Duane said put in context with you right there in Denver. We're going to talk to you tomorrow. Matt Dellinger, of course, transportation writer and our own new urbanist here on The Takeaway. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.